I'm Mark Strassman. This is thebooksite.net. We're at Dutton's Brentwood Books in Brentwood, California, and we're about to speak to Diane Leslie, who has just written Florida Lee's Life of Crime. Welcome to thebooksite.net.
Thank you, Mark.
The first question I want to ask you is, how autobiographical is this book, Florida Lee's Life of Crime?
Well, I do have to admit that I led such a life as is described in the book. My mother is not in reality an actress. She was a screenwriter. And my father was an entertainment lawyer. So there were lots of stars and celebrities around when I was a child.
Well, that leads immediately to what my next question is how did you transmute or transform your life experience into the fictional life experiences of Florida Lee in this book?
Well, I was originally asked to write a memoir about my mother as a screenwriter, and I just found that as great material as she is, I just wanted to get it a story, a real story. So I would veer away from the reality when I felt it wasn't entertaining.
That's a liberty, I guess, that fiction writers have that nonfiction writers don't. The story is essentially measured out in the comings and goings of Florida Lee's nannies. Could you tell us, did you have nannies growing up?
I did indeed. I think in the lifetime I had of nannies, I had at least 60 nannies.
And since there are only about six nannies in the book, did you aggregate some of the characteristics of them into these nannies?
Yes, they're composites. But just as an example, the one I left out for was a nanny who wanted to take me everywhere in Los Angeles and see Hollywood, but we hitchhiked. She didn't have a car.
Tell us a little bit about one or two of your favorite character nannies in Florida Lee's Life of Crime and what their particular specialties or idiosyncrasies were.
Well, I was fascinated by my most beautiful nanny, a very glamorous, gorgeous nanny who actually, as in the book, had gold-flecked lipstick that she wore everywhere, and she wore a lot of gold and got dressed up to the hilt on her day off. She was just a dream, and of course almost all my nannies came out either to become movie stars or to at least work for movie stars.
Florida Lee's father, Maurice, briefly considers creating a television show based on the psychodrama class or sessions that he sends his daughter to. And it features rich kids who would presumably be telling all of the dirt about their celebrity parents. But towards the a little later, it turns out that's not going to happen because celebrity parents don't want to have dirt about them told on television. But as I was reading this, and it's set, I guess, in more or less the late 50s, I thought of the Jerry Springer Show, which in fact is really cheap psychodrama. But in fact, it's poor, disempowered people from the lower socioeconomic strata doing precisely this, but none of them has powerful, rich, or influential parents. What was your take on the relationship between that psychodrama in your book and real programs that sort of use that approach?
Well, in the 50s, there never would have been a show like the one proposed in the book. And I haven't actually seen the Jerry Springer Show, but I think it sounds horrible. But the children of movie stars, in my experience, are real, or at least were, I don't know, current children, I suppose, they had no power. They were at the mercy of their parents, and yet there was something funny always about what they were asked to do. They were kind of extensions or reflections of their parents. So some of them would bend over backwards to just be what their parents wanted them to be. And that's really what I wanted to show. But I was in a psychodrama group. I'm in a very bad thing, I think, except that it kind of have showed me that I could be an actress if I wanted to, but I didn't want to.
Fleur-de-Lis enjoys the class immensely, apparently. It's her only chance for real self-expression in the book. This takes the story of the Fleur-de-Lis character from about 11 to about 12 or 13. Are you working on a sequel? Do you have more material?
Well, I do. I sort of surprised to find that I led a rather interesting life. I mean, I haven't thought of it in that way, but I did, and I really needed in my teenage years to escape from Hollywood, so that's the next book.
Escape from Hollywood is a fine title, and the title of this one is Fleur-de-Lis' Life of Crime by Diane Leslie from Simon & Schuster. Thanks very much for talking to us on thebooksite.net.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
I'm Mark Strassman. This is thebooksite.net. We're talking today to Diane Leslie, who's just written Fleur-de-Lis' Life of Crime. We're at Dutton's Brentwood Books in Brentwood, California. Welcome to thebooksite.net, Diane.
How do you do?
Psychology of the title character, Fleur-de-Lis, is fairly straightforward, it seems. She's looking to find parents in everyone she meets, since she really doesn't have any. How did you go about showing her need and without making her a stereotypical poor little rich girl?
Yes, that was very important to me. I'd read a lot of books by children of movie stars who have such a sad story to tell. Fortunately or unfortunately, I was raised as a child who was supposed to entertain my parents, and that's my goal, is to be entertaining. I hope poignant, but I worked hard at having humor and finding humor in every person who's in the book.
So did you sort of have a concept at the beginning of how you were going to avoid that, or did you just work with each particular incident to make sure it didn't come across as some sort of more suffering than it warranted?
I think it's in the narrative style, the voice of Fleur herself, and I worked a long time on getting that. And it's a tricky thing to find humor and have her have a. I wanted her to have an elevated tone, but also a sort of tongue-in-cheek tone. And I think I did it, but I spent months on that.
No, you did do it. Her voice was very distinctive, and you could see her behind it and see how she had an ironic but needy perspective, essentially. One of the more interesting characters is Constantine the Gardener, who seems to be a kind of Melor's light, right out of Lady Chatterley's Lover, with a more intriguing accent, although, of course, Melor's had a good accent, too. Where did he come from, and what role does he play in Fleur-de-Lis' coming of age?
When I was thinking about writing this book, actually, that when I was thinking of it as a memoir, I was complaining about the gardener we have. And someone said to me, well, who was the gardener when you were a child? And the minute I thought of this man, I knew I had a book, because there really was such a person in my life who was a muscle builder, who never ever wore a shirt, rain or shine, who actually had the apartment I describe in the book, though my parents never found out I went there.
Okay. Speaking of your parents or Fleur-de-Lis' parents, Maurice and Charmian, give us a brief look at them and tell me whether there really are people like that.
Well, I think there are. I don't know if they're all as funny. My mother is quite funny. And, in fact, trying to decide what she was going to wear to my book signing here at Dutton's, she asked, shall I wear my tiara? So I just feel like almost every conversation I have with her, she just hands me a wonderful line that I have to write down.
Today, in 1999, what, if anything, do you think has changed for a typical Beverly Hills 11-year-old from the situation experienced by Fleur-de-Lis in her life?
I think nowadays It is de rigueur for even the most famous stars to spend time with their children, to help with the fundraisers. There are a lot of celebrities who come to Dutton's with their children, and it's just that's the way children are raised now. So I think these children have an easier time than the children of the 50s.
So essentially things have gotten better in that area. Towards the end of the book, Florida Lee visits her father, Maurice, at work, where he's producing Sink or Get Rich, which is a composite of many game shows that have been on the air. Are you writing from personal knowledge here?
Yes, my father was an entertainment lawyer who had a few producers of game shows as his clients, and I somehow got dragged to those shows, and to my horror, I found that the contestants were repeatedly humiliated. And since I always identified with oppressed people, whoever they were, I would sit there in the audience crying for some poor contestant.
Well, it's pretty funny anyway. Thanks for talking to us on thebooksite.net about Florida Lee's life of crime.
Thank you so much.
This is Mark Strassman. This is thebooksite.net. We're talking to Diane Leslie, who's just written Florida Lee's Life of Crime from Simon & Schuster. Welcome to thebooksite.net.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us, if you can, how you achieved the proper balance of parody, documentary, farce, and tragedy in this coming-of-age story set in Beverly Hills in the late 50s.
What a great question. I don't know if I can answer it, but as hard as I tried on and worked on all of that, I do think it's kind of a part of my personality. And the hard part is letting your own personality come out. Once or twice I was accused of being an excessive writer and told to take all the excess out, which I almost did until I realized that that's how I am. So I left it in.
That's good. I'm glad you did. Could you talk about two or three of the nannies whose comings and goings punctuate Florida Lee's life of crime?
Well, I can't say I have a favorite. I loved all these women. And what makes me mad even now is that once they left, they never got in touch with me again. So I kind of learned that they didn't really love me. It was I only had the love for the months they were being paid with us. I suppose that the one in the first chapter, Glendora, who was a really honest, down-to-earth person who said what she meant, was a breath of fresh air. I think maybe I married a man who was very much like my favorite nannies.
Well, that's deep. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit more. A lot of the book's themes are kind of heightened and accentuated in the section dealing with the psychodrama experience that Flor Dea experiences. Psychodrama is really not a trendy habit that people engage in very much, but it was then, I suppose. And I'm wondering how much was the book a psychodrama for you?
Very much so. What an intuitive question. I actually studied acting for a while, and then my very best friend was an acting coach. So I ended up using acting technique and maybe what psychology I know. I'm interested in the subject, and I read a lot of psychology. But acting technique is what helped me write.
What was the proportion, would you say, that your efforts in Florida Lee's Life of Crime were to caution other people or to enlighten other people or to just entertain them or to work out issues for yourself in the writing?
Oh, probably it was very selfish, and it was a way for me to master a situation I certainly didn't feel I mastered as a child. So it was terrific for me. I hope the reader feels as good about this book.
To what extent was Florida Lee's struggle to define her own self in an essentially indifferent, if not hostile, universe mirror your own situation? And to what extent did you intend it to represent the struggle of every person who's trying to achieve a meaningful personal identity in a difficult world?
Well, in reality, I think I dealt with a complete loss of self It's in my 20s, I didn't know anything that I what I liked, what I wanted to wear. My mother had bought all my clothes. I was told what to do. And I was a lost soul for a long time, so it was kind of nice to meet myself.
To what extent are the issues that Fleur de Lis has to deal with, would you say, specific to kids growing up in Beverly Hills, and to what extent would you say they're universal?
They're unique, because Beverly Hills kids, they have to know this is so privileged. They're driving in limousines, they've got their own horses, they fly in a private plane. So you know you're privileged. And in my case, I was told that all the time. And yet, I was unhappy, and it didn't seem possible.
So to be privileged and unhappy was a little confusing. We got to wrap up now, but day before yesterday, President Clinton gave a speech in Washington about the need to cut back the violence being purveyed by the people in Hollywood. And on Saturday night, Bill Clinton flew to Hollywood and asked for money from the people who got their money from purveying violence in the media. Is this kind of paradox the kind of thing that's really endemic in the stories and life that's retold in Fleur de Lis' Life of Crime?
Well, as confusing as this is for a child, it's far more confusing. So, absolutely, it's now I laugh at this stuff, but I wasn't laughing as a kid. I didn't understand.
As Elvis Costello said, I used to be disgusted, now I try to be amused. thank you, Diane Leslie, for talking to us about your book, Fleur de Lis' Life of Crime, here on thebooksite.net.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.